The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, damn, week 14 was crazy, y'all. I mean, I didn't see most of the games just because, you know, I was on vacation. And pretty much when I'm on vacation, I kind of vacation and I don't really pay attention to a lot of regular life. But I did catch a bunch of the highlights of the games. And I did also catch my stupid ass Longhorns losing to Georgia yet again. That pissed me off. But hey, we're still in the college football playoff and we will be discussing more about the college football playoff on Friday's show, now that that's where we're at. So today's show, we're just going to be doing some catch-up on week 14. Going to do the power rankings, of course, but also, since I didn't do Monday's show, we're just going to go ahead and recap all of the week 14 games today and just talk straight up NFL. Also, some breaking news. Bill Belichick has officially signed on to be the North Carolina football coach. So that should be interesting, but now he has officially been taken off the market for any NFL team. So that really shakes things up for whatever happens with coaches in this offseason. But let's get right into week 14 of the NFL, beginning with the Thursday night football game, which actually ended up being a fantastic game between the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. Bitter division rivalry here. And the Lions came right out the gate, were owning this game in the first half. But then the second half, the Packers got their second wind and were able to actually make it a very close game. And basically, the Lions do what the Lions do, and that is they made a huge gamble on fourth down in the fourth quarter on their last drive. It was either go for the field goal and go up 6 points, which doesn't really matter, or just go ahead and go for the fourth down because it was fourth and one. And Lions ended up going for it, and they ended up basically winning the game off of that, winning the game 34-31. Jared Goff had a phenomenal game. He went 32-41, 283 yards and three touchdowns. Josh Jacobs of the Green Bay Packers also had a fantastic game. He had three of the touchdowns for the Packers, and just ended up being a bitter battle. In my opinion, it was just kind of the Packers were playing catch-up. And that's the reason why they weren't able to lock it down. But, I mean, these Detroit Lions keep on winning in many different ways. Then Sunday's game, we had the Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This went way different than the last matchup, which I'm not shocked by. The Steelers dominated this one from start to finish, 27-14. And it really wasn't a terrible game from the Browns. It's just they're not a very good team. And they did have their moments, but hey, the Steelers got the win as they normally do. The Steelers are actually closing in on their division title now because they are 10-3, and they just keep on winning with this defense. Najee Harris actually got it going in this one, 53 yards and a touchdown. But not a terrible game from Jameis Winston, 24-41, 212 yards and two touchdowns. Jerry Jeudy has actually really turned it on basically since Jameis Winston has taken over at quarterback. Jerry Jeudy has been solid at receiver. He had 64 yards and a touchdown, but it was just all Steelers all day. Then we had the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans, and this went as expected. Jaguars win 10-6. Boring game, terrible game. Who the fuck cares? Then we had the New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins. This actually ended up going into overtime. Aaron Rodgers, solid day, 27-39, 339 yards and a touchdown. Tyreek Hill had 115 yards and a touchdown for the Miami Dolphins, but they ended up getting the win, 32-26. And another loss from the Jets, where it's just like right at the end of the game too. That kind of seems to be the theme of the season for the Jets, where they're in a lot of these games, but then they just have a heartbreaking loss, and that was yet another one. Then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the Minnesota Vikings, and the Minnesota Vikings absolutely obliterated the Falcons in this one, 42-21. Sam Darnold, excuse me, he had a fantastic day, going 22 for 28, 347 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Huge game from Darnold. He really has he just looks really good right now. And so does this Vikings team overall. And the Falcons, with this loss, ended up losing their grip on their division to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the New York Giants, and this was probably one of the craziest endings. Also, basically, the epitome of both seasons, if you will. For the Saints, they ended up losing Derek Carr. He ended up trying to hurdle a defender, ended up face-planting hard, breaking his left hand, so he is done for the rest of the season. So that's the theme of the New Orleans Saints season. But the Giants had a shot to win it, or to tie it up at the end on a field goal, ended up getting blocked at the end by the Saints, and they would go on to win 14-11. So that was typical for both teams. Saints lose another guy to injury. Giants lose in just yet another terrible way, just like the New York Jets. Then we had the Carolina Panthers at the Philadelphia Eagles, and this actually ended up being a good game. And it just kind of goes to show, because I really haven't been sold on the Eagles all season long, but yet here they are at 11-2, and obviously one of the top teams in the league, but they're just such a weird team to watch. It just doesn't feel like they're just that good. But I mean, Saquon Barkley, he had 124 yards on the ground, but I mean, Bryce Young actually didn't look terrible in this game. As a matter of fact, it came down to the last play of the game, basically, and the Panthers just couldn't capitalize, and the Eagles barely got by the Panthers 22-16. And that's what I mean, is the Eagles just barely beat the Panthers. And the Panthers are nowhere near the talent level as the Eagles, and the Eagles were at home too, but yet somehow it was able to be that close of a game. Very odd from the Eagles. Then we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers just absolutely dominated the Raiders from start to finish. They got the win 28-13. Baker Mayfield had a huge day again, 18 for 29, 295 yards and 3 touchdowns. Rashad White on the ground had 90 yards and a touchdown. And another big day on offense for Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And yet another terrible day for the Las Vegas Raiders. And they also lost yet another quarterback for the rest of the season. So they are now down to their third string quarterback. Then we had the Seattle Seahawks at the Arizona Cardinals. And the Seahawks, they just actually keep on rolling. It looks like they've got a good shot at winning this division. I mean, they just keep on winning. And they beat the Cardinals 30-18. And Charbonnet, he actually had a huge game. He actually had a career high, 134 yards and 2 touchdowns. Smith Njigba, he's actually starting to become the number one guy, at least for Geno Smith, it seems, this year. And he had 82 yards and a touchdown. But it was just straight-up domination by the Seahawks, who just keep on winning, and they really need to, because now the Rams are kind of on their ass. And speaking of the Rams, let's get to probably one of the best games of the weekend, the Buffalo Bills at the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams just hung on to get the win 44-42, but they pretty much dominated this one. It was basically the Bills playing catch-up the entire time. But Josh Allen, he did have a fantastic game, 22 for 37, 342 yards, 3 touchdowns through the air, and 3 touchdowns on the ground. So Josh Allen had a total of 6 touchdowns. As a matter of fact, neither quarterback had an interception in this game. They both were just on fire. Stafford was just killing it. And that's what I said about the Rams. I just would not be surprised if the Rams are able to steal their division here at the end of the season. But the Seahawks keep on winning too. So if the Seahawks keep on winning, they're good, but the Rams are right there, and they just beat a good Bills team who just were playing catch-up, and that's just what happens when you're playing catch-up. It's just too much for you. Kyren Williams on the ground for the Rams, he had another great game as well, 87 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Puka Nacua just getting better each and every game. He had 162 yards through the air and a touchdown as well, and just a huge win for the Rams, which they really needed. And like I said, to me, the Rams are a sleeper team. I would not be shocked to see this team actually cause some upsets, get into the playoffs, cause some upsets, just because they're very capable of that, and that's exactly what they showed against this Buffalo Bills team. Then we had the Chicago Bears at the San Francisco 49ers. This was probably the best game from the San Francisco 49ers overall. They just crushed the Bears 38-13. Brock Purdy had basically a perfect day. He went 20 for 25, 325 yards and two touchdowns. Isaac Guerrero, the third string running back for the Niners, he had 78 yards and two touchdowns. Kittle had 151 yards through the air. It was really just an absolute domination by the 49ers. The Bears, their offense just has not been able to get going, and it just kind of feels like this season for the Bears just can't end soon enough. Although the Niners, it's pretty much the same thing. I don't really think this elevates them into any type of echelon of the playoffs. As a matter of fact, I still think they're going to fall back simply because I was just talking about the Rams and the Seahawks, and I do think they're much better teams than the 49ers. Then the Sunday night football matchup was the Los Angeles Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. This also ended up being another solid game coming down to the very last play. And as usual, the Chiefs are the luckiest team in the league. They get yet another crazy win. Chargers actually ended up taking the lead in the fourth quarter, 2-point lead. But they, of course, left too much time on the clock for Patrick Mahomes. A lot of time. I mean, so I guess that's just how it went. But they left about 3-4 minutes on the clock. Chiefs were able to just drive it down the field, take all of the clock, time off the clock, kick the game-winning field goal. And not only did they kick the game-winning field goal, but it looked like it was going to doink right off of the field goal post. And then instead, it went in because the Chiefs are the luckiest team in the league this year. And they got the walk-off win 19-17. Justin Herbert went 21 for 30, 213 yards and a touchdown. And what's crazy in this game is that this Chargers defense really held Patrick Mahomes down as best you can. I mean, he was running for his life the entire game. It's just that last drive. That's all he ever needs is that last fucking drive. You put it in distance for Patrick Mahomes to get it down the field. He always gets it down the field. I don't know why teams don't get it. It's just like they all fall apart every single week. And here we are again with the Chargers falling apart against the Chiefs in the end. And the Chiefs get the win, and as a matter of fact, not only did they get the win, they won their division as well. And then Monday Night Football actually ended up also being another good game, and another game where you look at the Cowboys season, and it was the epitome of what our season is. It was the Cincinnati Bengals at the Dallas Cowboys. The Bengals, basically, they didn't get the walk-off win, but you know, they had a nice little game-winning drive in the fourth quarter, and it was all spurned off of one of the stupidest plays, and it's just like the epitome of the Cowboys season. So we're all tied up here at 20, and the Cowboys defense is actually able to lock the Bengals offense down. They have to punt the ball. Cowboys block the punt, and it's in field goal range, too. It's in field goal range, so it's like, yes, block the punt. Cowboys are going to be set up here, just run the ball a few times, run this clock out, kick the field goal, boom, go home. Nope, of course, what happens is Cowboys block the punt. The punt, instead of bouncing towards the end zone, bounced away towards the line of scrimmage. And when that happens, if a Cowboy player touches the ball past the line of scrimmage, then it's free game, and anybody can go after the ball. And, of course, it touched the Cowboys player. Cincinnati Bengals recover. And then a couple plays later, Ja'Marr Chase has yet another touchdown, and it's the game-winning touchdown. And the Cincinnati Bengals get the win 27-20. Joe Burrow, he went 33 for 44, 369 yards and three touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase had a fantastic game, 177 yards and two touchdowns. Rico Dowdle for the Cowboys, actually, he's really turned it on these last couple of months. He had 131 yards on the ground. You kind of wonder where he was to start the season because now he's pretty much been exceptionally consistent as the season wears on. But yet another terrible loss by the Cowboys. Don't know how much it helps the Bengals out because they're 5-8 and they still have an outside shot at the playoffs, but I don't really expect them to do much towards the end of the season here. But hey, they got the win and the Cowboys got yet another loss. So let's get up to the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. Not a whole lot of changes, a little bit of shuffling, but for the most part, it's the same usual suspects, beginning with number one, the Detroit Lions. They're 12-1 on the season. This team really has no weakness. They're extremely consistent at both sides of the ball. They're great on the offensive line. They just dominate you on the offensive line. They dominate you on the defensive line. It doesn't matter how many injuries they have. It doesn't matter if they're down. It doesn't matter if they're up, if they're ahead by a lot. It doesn't matter if you test them. It doesn't matter. They're going to, if it's fourth and one, they're more than likely going to go for it and more than likely going to get that because they're so good on the, with the offensive line. Jared Goff has had multiple flawless games this season. Their ground attack is great. I mean, there really is just nothing bad to say about the Detroit Lions, at least at this point. And they beat good teams. They beat bad teams. They're extremely consistent. I would not be shocked to see the Lions win the Super Bowl this year. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 10-3. Even though they suffered that loss this week, it still doesn't matter to me. I still think the Bills are one of the best teams in the league. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked to see them in the Super Bowl either. Josh Allen having an MVP season. He's passed for 3,033 yards, 23 touchdowns, and only 5 interceptions. Also to add in 416 rush yards and 9 rushing touchdowns. The guy is a beast right now. I still lean towards Saquon as my MVP, but real talk, you can't discredit what Josh Allen has done this year and what he means to the Bills team. Quite frankly, I think he'd rather be hoisting that Super Bowl trophy anyways, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them do it. But even though they got that loss this week, it was a hard-fought game, and they still are a good team, and I still think they are one of the top teams in the league. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings is the Philadelphia Eagles. Overall record of 11-2. As I said, Saquon Barkley to me is the MVP, and the reason why is just because he's been their only bright spot, and here they are at 11-2, one of the best teams in the NFC. I still don't really believe in them much, but I mean, Saquon, he just keeps doing his thing. It feels like every game he has just busted off for a 70-plus yard run. It just kind of feels that way. But so far in the season, he leads the league in rushing still with 1,623 yards, 11 touchdowns. But the only thing with this Eagles team that is very odd is now the drama that is starting to seep out between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. Earlier this week in a press conference, I can't remember, one of their defensive players basically came out and said that they used to be friends and they are no longer friends. And it kind of feels like the targets have gone down for A.J. Brown. And then he kind of took back his words earlier in the week, but it's like, you already said what you said. And it's not really shocking because it just kind of feels like something has been off about this offense, and that would make sense. But here they are at 11-2. We'll see if it drags them down at any point, because there still is a month left of football, and that could shake things up for the Eagles. But so far, it doesn't really matter, because I just kind of feel like Saquon is having such a phenomenal year, and he definitely, to me, should be the MVP of the league. Then at number four in my top 10 NFL power rankings is the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 12-1. As I said, this is the luckiest team in the league right now. They just win because every team crumbles to them. And hey, they're still 12-1, but there's just something about this team that I just don't believe in. I feel like at some point their luck is going to run out. Hopefully that's in the playoffs at some point, because it's just going to be terrible to see this team go on and win a Super Bowl, just because they haven't won in an exciting way. They've just won in really stupid ways, at least in my opinion. But hey, if you're a Chiefs fan or if you are a Chiefs player, you're enjoying it, and good for you. You should. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Overall record of 10-3. This team has been really consistent since the day Russell Wilson took over as a starting quarterback. Of course, on the defensive side of the ball, they remain tops in the league. But on the offensive side of the ball, they seem to get stronger each and every week. They seem to be more and more convincing on the offensive side of the ball. And they just, they're starting to get a ground attack going. They're starting to make some big plays with the receivers. So we'll see what happens with the Steelers team. I mean, I kind of feel like we have to start believing in them, just because they've made it this far and they have yet to fall apart, and they keep getting better, especially on the offensive side of the ball, which was the problem for a while there. But now here they are, and they're playing extremely consistent football. And if it comes down to it, if this is a team you get in a defensive battle with, I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers 10 out of 10 times. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Minnesota Vikings. Overall record of 11-2. offensively and defensively, this team is extremely explosive. Justin Jefferson having another solid year with 1,170 yards receiving and 7 touchdowns. Sam Darnold is just having the greatest year of his career. As a matter of fact, he's going to make things real difficult for the Vikings to just turn around and say bye-bye. And even if they do, he's going to have a job immediately with somebody who needs a quarterback because he's really proven himself this year. But to me, I feel like the Vikings got to keep this dude no matter what. But he does have a lot of offensive weapons to choose from. But this defense is extremely stout. They've got 20 interceptions on the season, 9 forced fumbles, and 40 sacks. They are making it a problem for opposing quarterbacks. And we'll see what they've got. It's just the Vikings. I can't believe in them until we see what happens in the postseason. But so far, this Vikings team actually looks pretty legit. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings is the Baltimore Ravens. Overall record of 8-5. They're coming off of a bye week this week that they really need. I kind of feel like they're going to come back with the vengeance after this bye week and really make a nice run towards the end of the season. But unfortunately for them, they are, I feel like, too far behind the Steelers. I feel like the Steelers are playing way more consistent football than the Ravens are right now. I'm saying the Ravens are a bad team. I absolutely think they're making the playoffs as well. It's just I don't think they're going to win their division because I think Pittsburgh has already widened the lead. They already have the first win in their first matchup. But we'll see what happens here. It's going to be pretty crazy here down the last month of football. But the Ravens, they keep having these weird up and down struggles, and we'll see if they're able to get some consistency heading towards the playoffs. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Green Bay Packers. Overall record of 9-4. Josh Jacobs has been huge for this team. He's got 1,053 yards rushing and 11 touchdowns on the ground. As I said, I feel like the only major weakness for the Packers is their wide receivers and their drop passes. I feel like that's probably going to be their downfall at some point, making it into the playoffs. But we'll see. So far, they've been very consistent. They just suffered a bad loss here against the Lions. I mean, it was a close one, but still, they fell too far behind. And they just had to play catch-up the whole game. But they're still putting up big numbers. They're still playing solid football, and the defense is really good as well. They cause turnovers like no other, and this is a good, solid team. I just don't know if I believe in them as a championship-level team just yet. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Los Angeles Chargers. Overall record of 8-5. This defense is crazy. They have 39 sacks on the season, 13 interceptions, and 7 forced fumbles, so they are getting the job done. As I said, against Patrick Mahomes this week, they made him look pretty inefficient for the majority of the game other than the last drive of the game, as per usual. But, I mean, overall, the Chargers look solid. It's just, unfortunately, their offense is extremely inconsistent, and that's probably going to end up being the downfall here towards the end of the season. But we'll see what they've got as well. Like I said, there's still 4 more games throughout, and we'll see if they're able to make a run. But they got to keep winning because this AFC is very tight. And then rounding at the top 10 NFL power rankings of the Houston Texans, overall record of 8-5. They are coming out of a bye week this week, so they didn't do anything this week. But to me, the Texans are probably at the bottom of the AFC playoffs, meaning out of all the playoff teams in the AFC, I probably believe in them the least. Even against a team like the Denver Broncos. I think the Denver Broncos right now even have a little bit more spark than the Texans do. The Texans are a good team, but there's just something about them that's just not playing at a consistent level, and this offensive line just seems to be more and more of a liability each and every week. So we'll see what they've got the last month of the season. They should easily win their division because it's terrible. But beyond that, I don't really know what the Houston Texans have, so they really got to get it going this last month of football. So let's, since we only have a month of football left of the regular season, let's go ahead and take a look at the playoff picture. We have a couple more teams who have clinched playoff spots. So let's start off with the AFC. Number 1 overall seed would be the Kansas City Chiefs at 12-1. Not only have they clinched a division or a playoff spot, but they've also clinched their division. Number 2 is the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 10-3. They have clinched a playoff spot. Number 3 seed would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 10-3, lead their division right now. Number 4 would be the Houston Texans at 8-5. They also lead their division right now. Then the wild card spots would be the number 5 seed, the Baltimore Ravens. They are 8-5 on the season. Number 6 seed would be the Los Angeles Chargers. They're 8-5 on the season. And number seven seed would be the Denver Broncos. They are 8-5 on the season. And the three teams on the outside looking in right now would be the Indianapolis Colts at 6-7, Miami Dolphins at 6-7, and the Cincinnati Bengals at 5-8. Of note, the Broncos and the Colts play each other this weekend, so that's going to be big for the playoff implications since both of them are right there for that last playoff spot. But so far, AFC has been two spots have been clinched already. And then on the NFC side of things, the number one overall seed would be the Detroit Lions at 12-1. They just clinched a playoff spot this week. Number two seed would be the Philadelphia Eagles at 11-2. They just clinched a playoff spot this week. Then at number three, the Seattle Seahawks at 8-5. They lead their division right now. Number four seed, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 7-6. They lead their division right now. Then the wild card teams, number five seed, Minnesota Vikings at 11-2. Number six seed, Green Bay Packers at 9-4. Number seven seed, the Washington Commanders at 8-5. And the teams on the outside looking in are the Los Angeles Rams at 7-6. The Atlanta Falcons at 6-7. And the Arizona Cardinals at 6-7. So, I mean that the NFC South still up for grabs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons. They're probably going to be battling it out here for a bit. Also, the NFC North is still up for grabs, but it just kind of looks like the Lions have a grip on that. But even so, the Vikings are still right there on their tail. And then, of course, the NFC West up for grabs between the Seahawks, the Rams, the Cardinals, and the 49ers. But as I said, I feel like the Niners are, I mean, obviously they're at the bottom of it just record-wise, but I think they've got, I just think it's going to be real difficult for them to overtake those three teams because I think the three teams above them are better. But overall, in my personal opinion, I think it's going to be the Rams when it's all said and done just because I think they're the better team. And but we'll see. There's a lot left, a lot of football left to go. Anything could happen in this last month of football. All right, so let's move on to Thursday night football and week 15. And we actually have us a pretty good game this week. We have the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now the Niners are a 2.5-point favorite. I feel like the Rams are actually on a roll now. They just beat a really good Buffalo Bills team handedly as well. Yes, it was close, but this Rams team is very capable of getting it going offensively, especially with Cooper Kupp now healthy, Puka Nacua's healthy, Kyren Williams in the backfield. It's really just, can Matthew Stafford get enough time to get the ball off? And if he can, they are going to have no issues. Defensively, they actually are starting to get better and better as the season wears on. They're really making it a problem for their opposing quarterbacks. So they actually look really stout. As I said, I feel like the Rams have the edge in their division simply because, you know, this team has a lot of the players on this team were a part of the Super Bowl winning team. So they have that championship pedigree. They still have a good coach. They still have a good quarterback in Stafford. They have two playmakers in Nacua and Kupp. It's just, are they able to maintain this? Now, this is going to be a good game because they usually are good games. But I just kind of feel like the Niners, they're just not a good team. They just have not had a good season. And their best game was just this last game in week 14. So I still think it's going to be a good game to start. But I think the Rams are going to start to pull away with it in the second half. I think just they're going to have too much offensive firepower for the San Francisco 49ers to not only have their defense stop, but also to have their offense try and play catch up just because the Niners' offense is just not what it used to be. So I have the Rams winning this one 28-17. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.